On behalf of the Twaddell family, I want to welcome you here today. I know they appreciate everything that you have done for them over the last several weeks, and especially your presence here today for this celebration. This is a bittersweet gathering. Alyssa Joy Twaddell passed from this earth at the age of 33, and that brings tears. And that's okay. But God is good, and she's a recipient of his goodness now. So that makes this a celebration, and the family hopes that you'll see it that way as well as we go through this, that it will be viewed as a celebration. In this celebration, David Wilson, a member of the Church of Christ at Excelsior Springs, will be leading songs. Immediately following the first song, we will be led in prayer by Richard McClung, an elder of the Church of Christ at Excelsior Springs. We'll now begin with the first song.
If you'll open the red songbook, the Sacred Selections, to number 157. The request was for the songs to be sung upbeat and lively, so I'm going to need help keeping it that way. 157. No, so do me. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall live with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Alyssa Joy Twaddell, 33, of Independence, Missouri, passed away Friday, February 16, 2024, at St. Luke's Plaza Hospital. She was born on September 29, 1990, in Manhattan, Kansas. Alyssa was baptized into Jesus the summer of 2005 at the age of 14. She was a member of the Lone Jack Church of Christ in Lone Jack, Missouri. She was active in hosting and attending Bible studies and singing. She loved teaching children's classes. She organized activities for the children at many church events. She used her musical talents and creativity to write many vacation Bible school songs. She was very involved with the Winter Youth Rally by planning games and activities and taking pictures to make a slideshow every year. She loved going to church meetings all over the country and spending time with her family. She was extremely passionate about early childhood education. She taught in the Lee Summit School District with their after-school program and Casey Cubby's preschool. Most recently, she taught at the Goddard School as a lead preschool teacher. She also led music classes and wrote learning songs for the children. She enjoyed traveling, visiting national parks, camping, outdoor activities, and spending time with family and playing games of all kinds. She was an avid Chiefs and Royals fan. She is preceded in death by her paternal grandfather, Dale Twaddell, and her maternal grandfather, Joe Dunn. She is survived by her parental grandmother, Ladina Twaddell, maternal grandmother, Judith Dunn, parents, Doug and Jill Dunn Twaddell, siblings, Austin Twaddell, Auburn and her husband, Michael Fenton, Aiden and his wife, Madison Twaddell, Elijah and his wife, Sarah Twaddell, nieces and nephews, Eleanor, James, Joseph, Abigail, and Benjamin Fenton, Theophilus and Genevieve Twaddell.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the living God and the everlasting King. You are holy. You are righteous. And your kingdom endures forever. Upon observing your awesome creation, your servant David asked this question: what is man that you are mindful of him? Upon observing the work of your fingers and the moon and the stars, how is it that you visit man? Your throne is in heaven, and we are on the earth. Your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Yet, you loved us, not because of our worthiness, but because of your great mercies. Father, we're gathered here today with heavy hearts, but accompanying our sorrow, accompanying our tears, there is joy and hope. We are trusting in your promises. And we know your promises are sure. As the prophet of old wrote, great, great is your faithfulness. Comfort us today, Father. Especially comfort this family. Soften our hearts as we consider the brevity of this earthly life. Increase our faith, Father. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's open to number 358.
No, so, me, so. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory.
I have known Alyssa for several years, but really it's in the last 5 years that I got to know her much better. When I think about, you know, what's the memory of Alyssa that comes into my mind, the first thing that pops into my mind is the memory of how her face would transform her. We could be talking about a subject that was just kind of neutral and calm, and we would just be chatting back and forth, and then we would come across a topic that she was passionate about. And oh boy, her face would transform, her eyes would begin to sparkle, that smile would go from ear to ear, and it just, she became different. It transformed her entirely from that neutral, calm thing to something that she cared passionately about. It was dramatic, and it changed her entirely. She had a passion for many things. She took great satisfaction in artistic pursuits. She loved singing. She loved writing songs. One of her greatest passions was children. And maybe some of her happiest times were when all three of these came together, when she could work with children and art and music. I'd like to read the lyrics of a song that Alyssa wrote. She worked at the Goddard School and wrote this song to help children deal with change. Some of the children were feeling anxious about graduating and about what came next, and she wrote this song to help them deal with that. And in many respects, that's where our gathering is here today, getting used to the change. Changes by Alyssa Twaddell. So many things are changing, moving, and rearranging. Change can be hard, but it can be a good thing. So we learn about things all around us that change. Like a caterpillar changes to a butterfly, and water evaporates into the sky, the world goes around again and again. And weather will change in each season. So many things are changing, moving, and rearranging. Change can be hard, but it can be a good thing. So we learn about things all around us that change. Something as small as a tiny seed grows into a flower or a big, strong tree. Feelings can change from happy to sad. Babies grow up to be a mom or a dad. So many things are changing, moving, and rearranging. Change can be hard, but it can be a good thing. So we learn about things all around us the change. Perhaps even now, Alyssa is in some sense helping us adjust to change. You can tell what is important to a person by where they spend their time. You don't have to tell people what you're passionate about. They're going to see it by where you spend your time. That's where your passion is. That's what you do, is your passion. And Alyssa spent a lot of her time working with children at VBS's, teaching and leading and loving the children. And Alyssa planned to buy a house someday, and her plan was to open a preschool in her home. Now, life got in the way, and that didn't happen, but we knew where her heart was. I watched her help teach her nieces and nephews, and it was clear that she had a knack for it. You know, as parents, we use our voices to give encouragement to our children, to instruct them, to encourage them, to teach them, to discipline them, all those things. And kids can kind of become immune to that voice, can't they? Pretty soon you're repeating yourself a lot of times. And you're saying things louder because you think with a little louder voice and a few more times of repetition that you'll kind of break through that hard shell where they've just kind of come to ignore us. When Alyssa lost her voice, I wondered how that was going to affect her working with her nieces and nephews. I was fascinated to see how both Auntie and the children adapted. A gentle hand or a finger on the shoulder, a tap of a finger on the paper, a mimic of some action that should be taken, or the look on Auntie's face expressing love and encouragement to the children, or some simple sign language. What I saw was the adaption driven by a deficit that in some ways may have been more effective than the voice. Maybe there's a lesson in that for us as parents as well. The children were important to her, so she didn't give up. She persevered, and she succeeded, even with the obstacles in front of her. She loved to sing. Several years ago, while the Twaddells were still living in Beloit, Kansas, they would drive the kids to the Kansas City area to attend the area teen study. And kudos to Doug and Jill for doing that. 4 hours each way, you know. But they exposed their children to a good thing. And I got a daughter-in-law out of that, too. So. But around 9 o'clock when the teen study was over, and I'm beginning to think about just how long that last kid's going to be there so I can go to bed, is when they were getting in the car to go back home for 4 hours. So a lot of kudos to them for focusing on what was the most important. We used to carry a big box of songbooks to each teen study, and as soon as the study was over, Alyssa was right over at that box. I had it opened up. She was handing out books, and she was recruiting singers. You're going to sing alto. I'm going to sing soprano. All this stuff was happening because that's where Alyssa's passion was. She was the first to get involved in it, and she was the last to be drug away from it, probably by Doug or Jill saying, "We got to go." She loved to travel, and there were several trips planned this summer, intending to visit all the national parks in the U.S., but not all plans come together the way that we intend, and some plans are more important than other plans. She wanted to see all the wonders of God, but to see all the wonders of God, she needed to have a bigger plan, a more important plan. Alyssa made a plan in 2005 to become a servant of Jesus Christ. She put on Christ through baptism into him, as Galatians 3:27 tells us. And this was the first step in her travels, the most important trip she would ever embark on. It is a conscious choice to become a servant, to acknowledge that Jesus isn't just a friend, but he's Lord. That what he offers, I will accept. That what he asks, I will do. and we can revel in Jesus being our King. Speaking for the eldership at the Church of Christ at Lone Jack, we knew that we could depend on Alyssa. When we asked for feedback or volunteers, there she was. She gave the feedback. She gave us ideas about things the church could work on together to kind of coalesce us together as a group, to invest her time and energy in the body of Christ there. She was stirring up love and good works, as Hebrews 10:24 tells us that all Christians should be doing. Alyssa was there doing that. But it's not always easy. Obstacles get in the way. And over the last 4 or 5 years, as she encountered more health problems, we could see the toll that it was taking upon her. It was increasingly difficult for her to do the same things that she had been doing before. But she did them. Especially when she lost her ability to speak, she put in extra effort to communicate in other ways. In hindsight, it became more obvious to us that as the obstacles mounted, she invested more and more energy to do what she believed was right. Even though she could no longer speak, she was still the host for Bible studies in her home. Even though she couldn't sing, she was the host for prayer and praise nights in her home. It seems as though we could see her faith becoming stronger as she faced more challenges. James chapter 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." I don't know anybody that finds it joyful to have something hard to deal with. But James is telling us that's the way we should feel, because something good comes out of that. We have patience now. We should be happy as we face challenges, because it develops that patience and it better prepares us for the next challenge that we encounter. It will become the next stone that builds us up so that we can reach new heights. 1 Peter, the first chapter, says, "You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Peter is telling us here that genuine faith, faith that is real, will be refined and purified by the challenges that we encounter. So yes, we should be joyful. We may not enjoy it when we're going through it, but look at what it does for us. Alyssa was an example of how faith should respond to trials. Faith should become stronger and more resilient as it is tested. I don't know all the trials that you've already been through in your life, and none of us really know what trials we're going to encounter next. But like Alyssa, we may be faced with some pretty intense challenges that may test our faith. Untested faith is weak. Faith that has been through the fire will be strong and resilient. So when you next find yourself tested, remember the necessity for your faith to be tested, and then face it head on. And Alyssa was an example of that. Ecclesiastes 7 tells us that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. When a child is born, we can see all the things that they're going to experience. We can visualize it because we've been through a lot of that ourselves. And there's inherently some joy with seeing that young child born, looking forward with excitement to what will come next in their life. On the day of our death, the experiences have all been lived. We can't rewind and we can't live them again. We can't fix all the things that we may not have been happy with in our life. They are experiences that are lived, and they are what we have. So it serves as a warning to us that we can't go back. And to those that are of us that are living can look at death and say, "I need to spend this time right. It can't be done in a frivolous way. Use the time wisely. That's the message of Ecclesiastes 7. We have been to the house of mourning with the loss of Alyssa. The question is, will we take it to heart? Alyssa left us before we expected. Are you ready to leave this life? Because in the end, it is the end for us all. And that's the last gift that Alyssa has given to each of us. The gift of the recognition of our own mortality and being prepared for what comes next and taking it to heart. Alyssa made the commitment to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that came with a promise of heaven as our home. 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 3, tells us that we have been born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a blessing to hear those words, to know what comes beyond this life. And when it says hope there, it's not the hope that we may usually think about in our lives. I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope I don't get a flat tire. It's not those types of hopes. It means a confident expectation. We are born into a living hope, something that is alive, in which we confidently expect what comes next, which is the promise of heaven, reserved for us. Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, Aaron, and Moses are all described as being gathered to their people when they died. And that sort of statement personalizes their destination, doesn't it? Being gathered to their people. If you're going to a family reunion, you know where you're going, and you know what to expect when you get there. Where they were going to be received by those anticipating their arrival. In Luke, the 16th chapter, in the account of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus, Lazarus was carried by angels to paradise where Abraham was waiting, and then Lazarus was at peace. We don't have to be afraid of what comes next. We have friends waiting for us there, anticipating our arrival. And Christians can look forward to being gathered to our people, just like the others did. When we are a part of the family of God, our people are Christians. The gentleman just mentioned to me today that he looked at the group here and said, when I leave this life, that's where I want to be, with those people. This is your people. Someday, you're going to meet again. My family kind of makes fun of me a little bit as I talk about going to heaven, and I say, we're going to meet at the north middle gate. There's 12 gates, and so find the north and find the middle, and that's where we're going to meet. And they kind of make fun of me about that. And then they say, what gate was that? I don't know if that's purely symbolic or not, but I'm planning to find north and find the middle gate and to be there. And so I hope to see you there, that we can be gathered to our people. That offer of living hope was made to Alyssa, and it's made to you. Alyssa has gone home. What about you? Do you want to go home? Are you prepared to go home?
Number 444. 444. No, mi, do, so. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing, so showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam.
Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angel throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all.
Some family and friends have shared their personal thoughts about Alyssa, and I'll read those for you today. Janelle Rood writes, "My relationship with Alyssa was a hard one for me to put into words. Friends, yes, we were friends from the moment that we connected at the Murray Road Memorial Day meeting in May of 2019. We enjoyed visiting, talking, and going out for coffee. Brethren, absolutely. This is definitely the most important aspect of our relationship. We would look forward to seeing each other at the meetings and catch up. We enjoyed sharing notes and thoughts about the lessons, singing with the saints, and each other. We would send encouraging verses to each other and share new songs that we had found or learned. We wrote a few children's Sunday school songs together. I look forward to seeing her again through the hope that we both share in our Lord and the promises that he gave us to grant us eternal life through the sacrifice of his Son if we are faithful and obedient. Best friends, yes, it came naturally. We could not speak for a few weeks or even a month and still pick up right where we left off. We would have video chats to work on writing songs or talking about what meetings we planned to go to. We planned two trips that never happened because of the pandemic, and then with health problems and surgeries for both of us, we could never get them rescheduled. We did get to do some traveling together to the Midwest Bible Campout. We were tent partners and planned snacks, meals, singings, and what games to bring for game nights. And, of course, we almost always had to go and get a camp pedicure a few days before leaving. These times will always be the ones that I will cherish. We camped together for 3 years, and we always had a blast. Roommates, well, not technically, but next door to each other. When I was planning to head to the KC area to further my education, Alyssa wouldn't hear of me renting an apartment. She said, "Let me ask Mom and Dad, and I'm sure you can have the room connected to mine while you're going through school." We enjoyed that time of living together. We would stay up way too late talking, working on songs, or watching Little House on the Prairie. We planned to watch the whole series together, but never got very far because there was always more talking and laughing going on than watching. A supporter? Alyssa and I would talk about our health struggles and pray for each other as we tried new tests, sometimes found answers, and a lot of time did not. She was always there for me if I had questions or needed more prayers. Watching her struggle the last few years with her health has been hard, praying for answers and not finding them. But we were never promised that God would answer our prayers the exact way we ask for them. The prayers, my prayers for Alyssa have been answered. She is not in pain anymore, and she has her beautiful voice back and can enjoy all the beauty around her without the struggles of her physical health. But the aspect of our relationship that I will miss the most is sister. Alyssa was the first one to tell me that we were sisters by heart, not by blood. She loved me first, and her family accepted me right along with her. She invited me to family gatherings, made sure that I had all of the introductions to aunts and uncles and cousins, and even helped me to come up with my name of Auntie Nell for our nieces and nephews to call me. I am blessed to still have that relationship with them and all the memories of our family being together, playing games, singing together, and celebrating life together. I will always cherish the few years that we had together and look forward to the eternity that we will have together in paradise that we were promised if we are obedient and faithful to our God. Maddie Toddell writes, two reasons why I married Aiden was, one, because of how awe-inspiring his musical talents were. To just sit down at a piano and play anything or pick up any instrument and figure it out and learn it in less than a few minutes. And two, the fact that he had two sisters who I was already close with, grew up with, and got to call them my own. Alyssa was my friend before I dated Aiden. She was actually one of the vital reasons for my first time crushing hard on him. There was a NICSA two-week meeting that we stayed in the same house when she introduced me to a hilarious comedian and played so many songs. I told her that meeting that I had a huge crush on him, and she was beyond excited. Ever since that meeting, we would meet up regularly to hang out, even with her inviting me to Beloit, Kansas for the first time to see Aiden's play, even though it was a minor character. You don't really realize someone's role in events in your life until you really stop to think about it. I love the idea of traveling and adventure, but have never really gotten presented the opportunity. I love to teach, but never considered the dream of building my own school. I'm an avid baseball fan, but never could really go to games because the closest stadium is 3 hours from where I live. I love playing games and didn't have a passion for it. I love to sing, but not in public. Alyssa traveled Route 66, which I always envied. The freedom to get to travel is something that I've only started thinking about after being with Aiden and seeing her do it. Her next adventure was visiting all of the national parks in the U.S., and I wanted to join her on one, but I didn't have a chance to tell her that. Alyssa and I shared the passion of teaching. She worked at a before and after school program, nannied, babysat, and taught at multiple schools. There was even an idea of owning her own preschool and running it. I loved the idea. I even told her that if I lived in KC, that I would help her with that, teaching art classes for the preschool. One thing about Alyssa is her ability to find super awesome discounted Royals tickets for great seats. The past couple of summers, she would get some tickets and we would go. Even though we had differing views of who the greatest baseball team is, we shared that love for the sport together. She's the only one I will ever wear royal blue for. Once I married Aiden, I was introduced into the world of board games and card games and video games. Any game you could think of, we'd either heard of it, played it, or owned it. Alyssa and I would always try new games, become obsessed with them, play them all the time whenever one of us was visiting. Her passion and drive to win always made me giggle at the competitiveness between the family members, especially when I would come out of nowhere and beat them all. I have always remembered her wanting to play Bananagrams, and she would always come up with better words than I did. Through it all, she may not have won this last time, but she won an even better ultimate prize, one that I hope to win as well someday, one which we can rejoice in together. Alyssa's musical talents were similar to Aiden's. Every time I hear him play, it's like listening to her play as well. I'm thankful I have at least a little piece close to my heart to be able to hear her play through him. But I will miss hearing the new songs that she came up with. Alyssa and Aiden share that musical talent. I remember calling him when we were dating and she would put me on speaker, he would put me on speaker to listen to their jam session, or I'd be visiting and she would be working on a new song that she needed his advice and help on. But there was always a new song, always something new. I've been going through all of her recordings and all the songs that she made, some that she finalized, and it hurts my heart to know that there won't be any more new songs for her to share. But a piece overwhelms me is that she is singing with the angels now with that beautiful voice that she had. Wish I could hear it now, how beautiful heaven will be. When she loved something, she loved it with all her heart. She was passionate about everything, always putting 100% into whatever she was doing. She was inspiring for everything, for her passions, for the sicknesses she went through. She persevered through it all, and she was inspired by it. In her last day, we respected her last wish to be an organ donor, saving a few others with her kidneys and other organs. The hospital gave her a blanket that said, "You are our hero." She was a hero to so many others, which I have seen daily since last week, and everyone posting and reaching out about her. Alyssa, you inspired others. You love God, and you showed that. You are the most inspiring person I have ever met, and your passion excited even me. You shined your light, and so many saw it, and will continue to see it. Your journey in this world is over, but your true journey has only just begun. You were excited about seeing the beauty of the national parks, and I cry tears of happiness and joy that you get to see the true Paradise Valley now and be at the Father's right hand. Thank you for being my sister, not by blood, but by marriage, by choice, and by Christ. Elijah and Sarah Twaddell write, "In times like these, many of us can find ourselves wondering what God's plan could possibly be within the deep sadness that comes from losing someone so loved. While it sometimes feels impossible to find out what we're supposed to learn through the loss of our close sister and friend, there is so much we can learn from how she lived during her time with us in this world. Alyssa was brave and strong through the trials of her life, encouraging many as she went through them. She was a light to many and an example of a cheerful heart in difficult times. Alyssa's godly example of perseverance is a part of what gives us the Christian hope that her departure is not a permanent separation. James 1 and 12, we read, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because he has stood the test. That person shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Alyssa's love for the church also gives us an example of how we should love and work for God's kingdom. He showed us all the traits of the Christians in Romans 12, 11 through 13, which states, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Her guidance and teaching of children and composition of many children's songs of praise showed her great zeal for the Lord and his church. Alyssa can be remembered well for her service to God through song, no matter what her circumstances. There was never any doubt about where her spiritual focus was during her life. A final passage kept coming to mind while preparing our thoughts for today. Alyssa lived her life as guided by the Word, and Romans 5, 1 through 4 summarizes her walk perfectly. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith unto this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. This hope that she worked so hard for to pursue is the same hope that we strive for and gives us the confidence in knowing that the grief that we feel for her now is only a moment when compared to the joy we will share with her later." Alyssa went through many physical trials in her life, and through all of those trials, she always had a smile on her face and a happy song in her heart that she loved sharing with the world. With this in mind, we know that Alyssa would not want us to focus just on the example of Christ that she lived, but to live that same example ourselves. Through the same perseverance and faith, we can obtain the hope that we will join Alyssa in praises to the Lord again someday. Auburn Fenton writes, Alyssa once gave me a card that read, "A sister is a gift God gives twice. First, when he makes her part of your family, and when she becomes your friend too. I am so glad God gave us each other to share life, faith, and family, and to share the special joy of being sisters. I know through stories and home videos that Alyssa was excited to have a baby sister. She loved to hold me and play with me. She took care of me. However, once I learned to walk and talk, she discovered I was not the living baby doll she expected. And we suddenly stopped getting along so well. Like most sisters, we struggled through our adolescence. We were very different people. Thankfully, this didn't stop us from creating many wonderful childhood memories of playing games, singing, notes sent in secret, inside jokes, and scheming together to borrow clothes from our mother's closet. We weren't always happy to share a room or even breathe the same air. But the day she left home was still a sad one for me. I suddenly missed my sister for the first time. As young adults, we both moved to the Kansas City area and found ourselves roommates again when we rented a townhouse together. This time, with no parental refereeing, we were forced to truly work together and to look out for one another, and she took care of me. The very first night in our new place, after an exhausting day of moving in, I was getting into bed when there was a knock at my door. "Auburn," she said, "we don't have shower curtains or toilet paper or breakfast." So off we went to Walmart at 11 o'clock at night, laughing at our ridiculous predicament and forgetting such basic essentials. When I asked her to be my maid of honor, she was so excited, and she was the best. She planned every shower, made decorations, picked out clothes, and kept everything fun. She stood by my side the whole evening, wanting to help out with every little thing she could. She took care of me. We parted ways that night, and I found myself missing my sister for the second time. One day she called to say she was in the emergency room. I went to see her, and she could barely keep her eyes open. I wanted to make her feel better, so I decided to tell her a secret. "Alyssa," I said, "you're going to be an aunt." Her eyes still closed, she smiled. We then discussed what she wanted to be called. She thought Aunt Alyssa was a mouthful, so she requested to be simply Auntie. She accepted her new role with great enthusiasm. She took care of them. She planned every shower and welcome party for all my children. She wrote songs, bought clothes, read books, changed diapers, went on field trips, helped plan birthday parties, made crafts and painted faces. When she lost her voice, she taught her niece and nephew sign language. When my own life struggles would get me down, she would always be there to help and encourage. She never stopped taking care of me and my children. Now she has gone home, and I find myself once again missing my sister. Until we meet again, I am so glad God gave us each other to share life, faith, and family, and to share the special joy of being sisters.
Number 371.
No mi do so. What a song of delight in a city so bright will be wept beneath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth, songs of sadness or mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, will be heard in that land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light and his face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like when all of God's singers get home.
On behalf of the Twaddell family, thank you for making time to honor Alyssa today. I hope you know, and I think you do, how much this means to them. We will have a final prayer led by Dennis Stanley, an elder of the Church of Christ at Lone Jack. And following the prayer, please remain seated and allow the Twaddell family to exit to the auditorium, and then feel free to be dismissed. There is a meal in the basement. And the Twaddell family welcomes you all to come, and they hope that you will stay, eat with them, and to fellowship with them further. If it is convenient, let's stand.
Father, we come before your throne full of praise and thanksgiving for your mercy, your faithfulness, for your love that you have for us, a love that's beyond our ability to comprehend in its breadth and depth and height, love that was manifested in your willingness to send your only begotten Son to this world to sacrifice himself, to die on the cross, so that we could have a hope of eternal life. We've heard a lot here today about faith, about perseverance, about hope. We thank you that you gave us Alyssa for just a few years. We thank you for the example that she showed us of faith, of perseverance, of love, and of hope. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you always keep your promises to us. And we thank you that through your Son, Jesus, we have that hope, that confident expectation, that promise of eternity with you. We just sang when all of God's singers get home, and Lord, we've seen just a taste today of what that will be like. We thank you so much for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, in the hope, the confident knowledge that we will be together again with Alyssa. She will have her voice singing praises to you as she loved to do so much in this life. And we'll be there with her, singing right along with her. Praises to you, praises to your Son throughout eternity. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our salvation, that we offer this prayer. Amen.